afternoon. And welcome to the Cupertino Symphonic Band's annual spring concert. We're glad you could make it out this afternoon to listen to some music that we've prepared for you. By way of announcements, I've been asked that you put your cell phones and pagers on stun since this show is being recorded. Our recording engineer will appreciate that. So let's get started, and we might as well dive right in. We should have a program, and the first thing on the program is Angel Band by Walter Hartley, a living composer who modeled this piece after three mid-19th century folk songs and mixed in with some liturgical music. This suite is based on tunes from Sacred Harp and the Christian Harmony by Timothy Swan, and Africa by William Bennings. So here's Angel Band.
Thank you. Thank you.
composer Gustav Holst, whose name you may recognize from one of his most familiar and favorite compositions, The Planets. I was asked in 1927, he was commissioned to write a competition piece for the BBC and the National Brass Band Festival Committee. The result of that commission work was a Morsides Suite. The suite has three movements, and the last movement is reminiscent of a marching song from Two Songs Without Words. Composer Gordon Jacob arranged the Morsides Suite for strings and later on for concert band and military band under the title Morsides March in 1960, and here is the Morsides March.
Thank you.
Seville, Spain in 1820, Carmen, is a story about a fickle gypsy girl who seduces a soldier. He deserts the armed forces, leaves his current girlfriend, and takes up with Carmen for a period of time until she dumps him. What's he gonna do? Naturally, he kills her.
Thank you.
Another commissioned work, Aerodynamics, commemorates the 100th anniversary of flight by the Wright brothers in 1903. It's in five sections, six sections. The first two are intended to evoke a sense of anticipation and the unknown. They borrow thematic material from Scott Joplin's Weeping Willow Rag, which was also written by Joplin in 1903. In the third section, a new theme captures the spirit and importance that the Wright brothers brought about with their invention. The fourth section, construction, the percussion section takes over, bringing to mind the activity done while they were building their airplane, the Wright brothers, not the percussion section. The fifth and sixth sections, flight and celebration, depict the first successful flight. In addition to the regular complement of wind band instruments for this piece, also has a section for piano. Erica Perot is with us today on piano, and we'll get to hear her play. So, here's Aerodynamics.
Thank you.
definitely time for a break. We can all do it. Don't say it's not. Let's see. So, is Jim Moore in the house?
He's in the back.
Jim, stand up. Oh, there he is. Way back here. How long a break should we take?
13 and a half minutes.
Okay, 13 and a half minutes will be back. Thank you all very much.
So, my name is Dave Ball.
And I'm Liz Tan. We're here to speak on behalf of the members of the Cupertino Symphonic Band. 10 years ago, our beloved conductor, Tom Narciso, set aside his Barry sax and picked up the baton. He stepped out of our ranks and stood before us. He brought a new life and a new energy into the group. We've watched him grow from the guy with the baton, to the guy in the tux, to the guy who has elevated this group and taken us to a place where we can bring sheets of music to life, creating a sculpture of sound and emotion with his bare hands.
Today that journey comes to an end as Tom puts down some time for his last concert of the regular season. Tom, by my reckoning, Tom has taken us through over 50 concerts, 500 pieces of music, 50,000 measures, and between the measures, rehearsals, performances, that's over 2 million individual beats. So we are grateful to have been a part of so much of that amazing journey.
As Tom prepares to wrap up his time with us, we figured it was time that we let him in on a few secrets, the unwritten, though now written, rules for band musicians.
Never be satisfied with the tuning note, no. Fussing with the pitch takes the attention away from the podium and puts it on you where it belongs.
When raising your music stand, be sure the top comes off and spills the music onto the floor.
Complain about the temperature of the rehearsal room, the lighting, crowded space, or a draft. It's best to do this when the conductor is under pressure.
Look the other way just before he makes a cue.
Never have the proper mute or extra reeds. Percussion players must never have all of their equipment.
Check your tuning at every opportunity, especially when the conductor is giving instructions. Brass players, drop your mutes. Percussionists, they have a wide variety of droppable items, but cymbals are, without a doubt, the best droppable item.
Pretend that the rehearsal letters in your music are in a different place from those in the conductor's score.
Loudly blow water from your instrument during the pauses. Horn players are trained to do this from birth.
Long after this passage has gone by, ask the conductor if your C-sharp is in tune. This is particularly effective if you had no C-sharp or were not playing at the time. If he catches you, pretend to be correcting your score.
At dramatic moments in the music, while the conductor is emoting, be busy marking your music so the climaxes will sound empty and disappointing.
Wait well in the rehearsal before letting the conductor know you don't have the music.
Look at your watch frequently. Shake it in disbelief occasionally.
Ask the conductor if he has listened to the YouTube recording of his beat. It implies that you can learn a thing or two from it. Also good to ask, is this the first time you've conducted this piece?
When rehearsing a difficult passage, screw up your face and shake your head, indicating that you will never be able to play it. Don't say anything, just make him wonder.
Arrive at rehearsal late. This is particularly useful if you're seated in the middle of the band.
And lastly, find an excuse to leave rehearsal about 15 minutes early so that others will become restless and start to pack up and fidget. Tom, we want to thank you for all these beats, measures, scores, rehearsals, and concert. And of course, for putting up with our antics over the years. We wish you all the best in your future musical endeavors.
All right. Thank you so much. I've been with this band for 18 years, maybe 19, I'm not exactly sure. 10 years ago, I wanted to conduct, and I have conducted. So I want to say thank you to all of you, all the people who were in the band way back in the day, aren't here anymore. For those of you who've been able to hang in with me for so long while I've actually learned to do this, thank you all so much. And thank you all for being so supportive over the years. We all truly appreciate it. All right, now, one more thing about Carmen that I forgot to mention. While it's true that Carmen seduced this soldier and he left the service and he left his current girlfriend, and then Carmen dumped him and he murdered her, but What I forgot to mention is she left him for a bullfighter. The composer Modest Mussorgsky lived in Russia way back in the day, and he's a writer of some very famous pieces, and one of the most well-known ones that you've probably all heard is Pictures at an Exhibition. What you might not know is that this is originally written for piano as a piano solo. If you haven't heard it, and you're a fan of this piece, or even if you're not a fan of this piece, the piano solo in the original intended composition is worth searching out. It's excellent, and it's a real showpiece for the person playing.
Is it on YouTube?
It might be on YouTube. So you can look there, or, you know, a myriad of other places. What are all those, I don't know, on Facebooks, somewhere on the interwebs. And anyway, Maurice Ravel, a French composer, came along a little later, and he arranged Pictures at an Exhibition for orchestra. And that's what you hear mostly, I think, now, unless you're a fan of solo piano. And if you've heard Pictures, this is probably the version that you've heard. It is a series of 10 vignettes, officially titled Pictures at an Exhibition, Remembrance of Victor Hartmann. It's a suite, and it's, I read that it was intended to invoke, as you walk along, there's a promenade section that will be referred to a little bit in this section of the play, and as you walk from viewing hall to exhibit hall to exhibit hall, that's the promenade section, and each of the more specific sections is an idea of what you might be looking at in this hall. The section that we're going to play is part 10, The Great Gate at Kiev.
Thank you.
Piano Sonata number 16 in C major by Mozart was described by him in his own words as for beginners. If you have ever taken piano lessons, or if you have children who have taken piano lessons, you are familiar with this sonata and you will recognize it, I'm pretty sure. And although the piece is well known today, it wasn't published until after Mozart passed. First appearance of this in print anywhere was in 1805, well after his death. This piece that we're going to play, Glenn Meets Wolfgang, is a mashup of Glenn Miller and Mozart, and I think you'll find that it's probably a lot more Glenn than it is Wolfgang, but you'll recognize the theme, and we hope you enjoy it. It will feature our lead clarinet player, Ms. Susan Cooper, on a nice clarinet solo, and in the trumpet section, Ned Snow, a nice trumpet solo tune. So, here we go. St. George's Cross. It is a red cross on a white background. And you may say, oh, well, what's that other flag that they fly? That's the Union Jack. And it is a, speaking of mashups, it's a mashup of four flags, Scotland, Wales, England, and Ireland. So, Frederick Joseph Ricketts was a British composer of marches for band, and under the pen name Kenneth J. Alford, he wrote this song. You may also recognize his name as being the composer of the Colonel Bogey March, you know, the one that we played here a bunch of times, the Bridge on the River Kwai one. He was a bandmaster in the British Army, Royal Marines Director of Music, and conductor Sir Vivian Dunn called Ricketts British March King. So we have Sousa, they have, well, all of them. Frequent use of saxophones. Contribute to its permanent inclusion in military band repertoire. So, Standard of St. George, inspired by watching the Trooping of the Color at the Horse Guards Parade. And if any of you watched the Summer Olympics last summer, the Royal Horse Guard Parade is where they had beach volleyball. Yes, it's true. So, here's the Standard of St. George. Greece is the word. It is a 1971 Broadway theater show and a 1978 film, a musical by Jim Jacob and Warren Casey. The musical is named for the 1950s United States working class youth subculture known as Greasers. Now, I have to tell you, I never liked the Greasers. I thought the Beats and the Beatniks from the same era, mostly on the West Coast, were much cooler. The musical set in 59 at fictional Rydell High School follows 10 working-class teenagers as they navigate the complexities of love. The score attempts to recreate the sounds of early rock and roll. We like it. Here are selections from Greece.
I thought we could all use a short break, so I wanted to say a few things about Tom as being one of the players in the band who's been here BT, as in before Tom. I remember CSB before Tom came along. And then he came along and was playing in the very sax section and started to try his hand out with the baton. I remember one particular June or July concert at Memorial Park where our original founding conductor, Bob Gomez, was conducting. I think Tom was supposed to play a piece or two, or not play, I'm sorry, conduct us in a piece or two, just sort of warming up. And poor Bob Gomez had a little bit of heat issue. It was a very hot evening. And I remember that Tom took over the baton and the podium for the rest of the program. Pretty much saved the day. Since Tom has been behind the, or on the podium, I don't know how many people have come in while Tom was conducting, but how many do you remember at break being asked, what is your name and what do you really do? So very welcoming. Also, probably the most humble conductor I've ever played for, and I've played for many. Always positive, a true love for music that he imparts on everybody, always learning. How many of you knew that before he took over the podium, he actually took some time off from Barry Sachs and tried his hand at oboe? And you know, you can complain about reeds, well, oboists have to have two reeds at one time, so you can really complain about reeds there. Some new terms that I'll always remember now that Tom has been our conductor. Most conductors refer to it as rehearsal tempo, but here in CSB we have tempo de learno. Yes. And he's also invited others to step on the podium. I can think of at least three members that have come up and conducted at least one piece all the way through to the performance. And also has recently shared that he's been teaching his father, who is here with us today, Joe Narciso, how to read music. And I just found out something new about Tom from visiting with Joe and Tom's wife, Debbie, who's sitting right next to them here in the front row. And he said that not only was he teaching him to play music, or yeah, sorry, to read music, but he said in order to read music, you must also play it as well. And so he's constantly teaching, whether it's us or relatives or whatever. Another thing that was very different when Tom came in is our warm-ups. For a while there, how many do we remember the chord progressions where we had to guess this tune? I never could guess one of them. I was always very frustrated. Anyway, probably my favorite quote of Tom's, which he hasn't used much recently, but as he was learning the art and craft of conducting, he used to say, "This is just wonderful, you all need to try it. I just stand up here and wave my arms and you make music." So let's give Tom another round of applause.
Thank you all very much. I truly appreciate it. Thank you all. Okay. Frank Ticelli, another living composer. One of my favorite composers of original band music. There are pieces that are written for orchestra that are transcribed for bands. Depending on the skill of the person doing the transcription, you know, the violins get turned into flutes and clarinets, and the cellos get turned into alto saxophones and that kind of thing. But an original composition for a concert band is truly a thing of beauty, and Frank Ticelli is one of the best at that around today. He was born in Monroe, Louisiana in 1958. He's a professor of composition at USC. Sorry, Greg. Greg's a UCLA guy. He's written for orchestra, chorus, wind band, and chamber ensemble. Now, in notes about this next piece that we're going to play, Sundance, Ticelli writes that he got enamored with this whole idea of a town festival on a warm summer day. He uses phrases for this piece like bright joy, sun-washed day, walking hand in hand, dancing. So, listen for the happy, gentle main melody. There's a second melody a little ways in, and you'll hear them recur all throughout this piece. We hope you like this. Thank you very much. It's Sundance.
We didn't know how
we didn't know how we'd be time-wise tonight, so we kind of had another thing in the way. But I don't know. Let's play it right. This will be incidental music from the movie How the West Was Won. Thank you.
Actually, I won't even grab a mic because I don't have much time. But next year, Jason the Christian is going to be conducting us, and hopefully for many more years after that. So please, we'll be conducting our traditional Stars and Stripes Forever, which closes our concert out tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you again.